The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome you back here on September 9th, and on Saturday, many, of course, are already doing it. We're going to be reflecting back 20 years ago on 9/11. It was an event that many people are still dealing with, and one of the most shocking moments in modern American history. But there's also many, many sports contents of it. We've seen, of course, the situation with baseball and how the Yankees helped heal the nation by playing in the World Series. But there was also a football component in the SEC. And our next two guests played a big role in that, participating in the first nationally televised game since 9/11 20 years ago. I'm speaking, of course, of Jackie Sherrill, the head coach at Mississippi State, and we are now looking at Coach Lou Holtz, who was at South Carolina. Coach Holtz, great to have you with us. We hope you're well, and it's good to see you again.
Well, thank you. I had major back surgery, but I'm getting better. I don't notice it day to day, but I do week to week.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that you're doing a little better. And Coach Sherrill, it's such a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Paul. And Coach Holtz, hello.
Hello, Jackie. Great to see you.
Yes. Let me start with both of you with that terrible moment. I know you're both Patriots and had to be shattered when that happened. And then there was a debate for 2 days within the SEC about playing football, and then the NFL put it aside, and so did everyone else. Coach Holtz, what do you remember about that ghastly day in American history?
Well, I was prepared to play Bowling Green, coached by Urban Meyer, who I had hired at Notre Dame. And I'm walking out of the office and the secretary said a plane flew into the Twin Towers. I thought, well, it's some private little plane that made a mistake. And then she said, no. And everything changed. You know, I as an officer in the Army, and understood the ramifications of it. But, you know, everything was on hold for 2 days. Do we play? Don't we play? But everything else was irrelevant compared to what was going on in the country.
Coach Sherrill, your thoughts on that Tuesday?
Well, there's no word or words that can be said, you know, to take back and put the lives back to the families, you know, the first responders. But my wife called me, Peggy, at 10:30, I believe it was, and said, you need to turn on the television. And, of course, you know, that never happens. You know, we're so busy getting ready to play, but all of a sudden turned it on, and you see what's going on, and you're aghast. You have no words for it other than, you know, what is happening. And then you follow it from there to the second plane, and then you follow it there to the Pentagon and to the West Virginia. So I think everybody was, you know, feeling very scared and unsure. I mean, there were a lot of feelings, and certainly the people that had families, you know, in New York are working in the Twin Towers.
Coach Holtz, we got through that first weekend, and then we moved toward the next weekend, and of course there was a game on that Thursday between you and Coach Sherrill. Everyone was trying to figure out how that would work, and what were your thoughts as we turned the page? We were all still shattered, but there wasn't planes weren't flying. Finally, on the next week, it started to come back a little bit. How did you get your team back in some semblance of preparedness for the next game, which was creeping up pretty quickly?
Well, Paul, there are certain things that happened. You remember exactly where you were. I remember when John F. Kennedy was shot as coach of the William Mary, assistant coach of my office when I heard it. You just remember that exactly. Now, Are we going to play Saturday? No, we aren't going to play Saturday. We're going to play the following week. Well, it looks like we are. And if we are, we're going to play a very good football team. I think Jackie Sherrill did not get near enough credit for what he did at all the schools, but particularly at Mississippi State. Paul, you've covered this long enough to know Mississippi State wasn't very good before Jackie Sherrill went there, but they were really a nationally ranked football team. So now that we're going to play them, it's a conference game, it's a big game. We have to be able to focus on it. But then there were so many other outside activities, like where's our team going to be pregame, and we're going to hold a flag and cover the whole side of the field, our whole football team would. Nobody knelt or anything else. They held it with great distinction and great pride. But it was just one of those that this is what we have to do, and this is a fact, and there's nothing else that we can do to change it, but let's stay focused on what we're doing at the present time. And getting to Starkville, our plane was canceled. We had to fly in the day of the game. We had our pregame routine the night before back in Columbia because they canceled the flight. And so we got down there and you sort of catalogs. I told the players, we got to catalog the pregame. We got to be able to departmentalize and say, this is what is important now. Let's do the pregame with dignity, with respect, because it's going to be a national event. It's something you're going to remember the rest of your life. I'm telling you, your baby won't do anything more important than what you're going to do on Thursday night. Once that was done, now we got to play the game. Now we got to find out how we're going to beat a very, very good Jackie Sherrill team.
Talking to Coach Lou Holtz and Coach Jackie Sherrill, and Coach Sherrill, it was really incumbent upon you and of course, your great athletic director, Larry Templeton, at the time, to figure out a way to get this stadium ready and you to get your team ready. What are your reflections and remembrances of that moment?
Well, the biggest thing was, you know, the refocus of the team. And, you know, certainly there was still a lot of things that were going through their minds, with certainly some of the distant cousins or that had lost their lives. So you had to, like Lou said, you had to try to focus and refocus your team. But, you know, you have to give the players credit, because what they did, like Lou said, before the game, and how important it was to be a part of something that was much bigger than the game. And they were able to it. And, you know, 20 years later, when we are talking about it, those players from both teams participated in something, again, that was much bigger than the game. Even though the game was watched, we still were thinking about a lot of things. Now, yeah, my daughter sang the national anthem, Bonnie, and Larry Templeton was a lot smarter than I was, because he kept trying to talk me out of letting her sing, because you have a 1 or 2 second delay from the speakers in what you're actually saying. And there's a lot of great entertainers that won't sing the national anthem because of that reason. But anyway, you know, it was an honor, and it was an honor for Bonnie and an honor for both teams and Coach Holtz.
Coach Holtz, you've experienced so much in your Hall of Fame career, from national championships to just big moments. What was it like before that game, knowing that the country was watching, knowing that you were hoping to help a lot of very heartbroken people at least forget for a moment what had been going on in this country, to enjoy a football game? What do you remember about being on that field?
Well, I remember being on the field and being so emotional. And Jackie's daughter did a tremendous job. And it was very moving, you know, to hear the Star Spangled Banner after everything we had been through on that. But like anything else, you know, it was important. The game was important. The festivities before the game was important, because it was important for this country to move forward, to close ranks, pick up a rifle, and march on, and we continue with our way of life. And so that was important that we continue to do that. And so, as I say, the pregame activities before was one phase of the game, but the actual contest of the game was something completely different. But once the activities were done before the half, it took a couple of plays before our players, was focused in on the game and the important thing of what we had to do. And when I say to him in that interim, I don't even remember, except that I was in college and the coach gave one of the great pep talks in the world. I'm so fired up and I run down on the opening kickoff and the guy hits me in the throat and I couldn't remember a word that the coach said. So that's what was important, is that we get ready to go play, because we're going to play a very good Jackie Sherrill team.
Coach Jackie Sherrill with us, who will, by the way, will be the honorary captain this week in Knoxville as they honor John Majors before the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game. Coach Sherrill, going back to that Thursday night, once you got past your daughter singing the national anthem, how difficult was it to get into the game?
Well, I think, we kind of moved into the game pretty good, and I'm on the sideline watching, and we're playing, and we're playing pretty well. And all of a sudden, it's fourth and three, about the 48-yard line, and, we're trying to decide whether Coach Holtz is going to punt or go for it, and all of a sudden, he runs up to the players run to the line of scrimmage, snap it, quarterback sneak, and keep, and went 43 yards. And it burst our bubble. We could never blow it back up again.
Coach Holtz, that wasn't a bad call, was it?
Well, there comes a time, Paul, in the game where you just feel, hey, we got to take a risk. We're playing a very good football team, and we just felt that we could do it. We had a good running quarterback. We had practiced it. And it worked out. It worked out because of execution, not because of the call. That's the thing that so many fans don't understand, that you don't win because of theory. You win because of execution, and we executed the play very, very well. But I think we ended up winning the game by 2 points or something like that. And, that's great that we won the game. But now that's the game's over and the plane was late getting there. We had about 3 or 4 hour wait at the airport. But you move on with life. And that game was important because we moved on. The country moved on. We moved on. We didn't do anything to deserve to be there. We didn't win the lottery. We did do something special. It just happened to be the way the schedule had worked out. And we're blessed. And 20 years later, I just feel very proud that our football team was involved in that.
Well, I can't thank both of you enough, Coach Sherrill and you, Coach Holtz, for sharing your memories. It's hard to believe. I mean, as we all grow older, the time seems a little bit compressed, but we all remember that Thursday night in Starkville, and we deeply appreciate both of you, Coach Sherrill and Coach Holtz, for joining us to remember it.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Thank you for having me, and I certainly enjoy your show. You're very talented, and I think the long run you've had exhibits that.
Thank you so much. Lou Holtz, the legendary Lou Holtz, and, of course, Jackie Sherrill joining us to remember an incredible moment, not only in SEC history, but in American history. It's the first televised sporting event to return after 9/11, 20 years ago. We'll take a short break. Back with so much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We played a year ago. You know, we went up there and, you know, they handled us. And, you know, they looked like they were the more excited team.
More of your calls right now at 855-242-7285. Appreciate the coaches joining us. Later on, retired General Vinnie Bowles on 9/11, which, of course, the 20th anniversary this Saturday. 12th man in Bryan, Texas. You're on the air. Hello.
Howdy from Aggieland, Paul.
Howdy.
Howdy, howdy. It's so good to hear from Coaches Holtz and Cheryl. You know, Jackie Cheryl is beloved around here.
Sure.
And there's a lot of folks in Fayetteville, Arkansas that shed many a tear when Coach Holtz left to go to Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I want to talk to you about the pod system, proposed pod system for the SEC. I'm in favor of it, Paul, because, let's face it, Texas A&M and South Carolina never were rivals. And they still aren't today,
no.
Even after 10 years. And the SEC didn't have much choice being divided east and west because A&M has no natural or historical rivals in the east. And I think it's pretty much the same for Arkansas and Missouri. Their schools may be in adjoining states, but they have no real history. You don't have a rivalry. You got to have at least a couple of drops of bad blood and a history. And hopefully in a pod system, we can end the Texas A&M, South Carolina rivalry. And
I agree with you. I mean, there are some really quirky crossover games in the SEC. You have Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Kentucky, and the one you mentioned. That's all going to be taken care of when the expansion occurs. You're not going to have that anymore.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
So.
You're not going to see divisions anymore. I don't think you're going to see each school play a handful of games every year, and then the rest of it will be rotated.
Yeah. Well, that makes more sense. You play more schools in a faster rotation that way. And also, if A&M and Texas are in different pods, that takes care of a good cross-division rivalry right there.
It's hard to believe that they will be. I don't know. Well, the commissioner is on tomorrow. Maybe he can give us a clue, although I don't think anybody really wants to talk about this yet. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Jackson is in Nashville. Hello, Jackson.
Hi. I was calling to call or to talk about JT Daniels and his injury. It sounds like he got this during summer, during fall camp, actually. And
right.
So that would explain the vanilla play calling. But really and truly, you know, I'm just wondering when we're going to start pointing the finger at Scotty C over there. It seems like ever since he came from Alabama, we've just been hit with this injury bug. I mean, you could look at the defense last year. It was a shambles. Basically, our whole starting wide receiver core is out. JT Daniels is hurt now, you know what I mean? And this isn't somebody that Saban fought tooth and nail for, you know, whenever Kirby was after him. So, I was just really wondering your thoughts on that. I'll hang up and listen.
It's interesting. Alabama's overall health and conditioning seems like it's better, and Georgia may be worse. Of course, Scott Cochran right now I think is still out for personal reasons. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls, and Richard is in Florida. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great.
I just want to comment on these Florida, Georgia fans that keep calling in and stuff. You know, they talk all the time about, you know, what they're going to do. Every year you hear the same thing. Yet, of course, they haven't won a national championship since 1980. It's one thing if they won four or five of them in the last 10 years, they could do some talking, but they seem to forget that, first of all, I'm a Florida fan. that we're in a transition period. Florida is. We'll probably do 8-4 this year, if we're lucky 10-2. But that's being realistic because we lost a Heisman Trophy candidate winner, or candidate, excuse me, and our top tight end, and of course a lot of other people that are excellent for the Gators. But it'd be nice if they just would chill out a little bit, and until they can beat Alabama and win the national championship, they need to just kind of calm down a little bit and chill out and have some class. And what are your thoughts, Paul?
Well, Richard, I appreciate it. I mean, fans are going to be fans. I know that's probably not earth-shattering commentary there. Anthony is up next in Florida. Hello, Anthony.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
So we had Reality Monday, Tell the Truth Tuesday, Weird Wednesday, right? So how about we do this Think About It Thursday? Does that work for you?
I think that's good. Very, very eclectic.
Hey, before I get into my comments, what do you think the chances are that guy from New York that called in yesterday that said if you took Alabama out of the SEC, they'd be pedestrian? You think that could have been the Big 12 commissioner in disguise?
In fact, I think it was. We've traced the call, and it said Bob. We didn't get the last name. But...
Oh, man, that's great. So anyways, I got all this talk is about Georgia, so we can continue with that. I'd like to say that I don't think Georgia fans understand that we're all looking at Georgia the same way they are. We know they're a good team, but they're trying to be great. And unfortunately for all of us, Alabama is the measuring stick in the SEC. And what we're saying is we're not saying that Georgia's not good. We're saying that what we saw was not good enough. And if you think that JT Daniels is the next Matthew Stafford, hey, Stafford would have found a way to score a couple of touchdowns in that game. And it's just the reality of it. I'm a Kentucky fan living in Florida to not look at it through my blue goggles. You understand what I'm saying?
I do hear you loud and clear. Hey, thanks so much for the call. We're heading to a break. We've got a fantastic show with, of course, Coach Holtz and Cheryl. A little bit later on, the retired general, Vincent Bowles. We'll also talk to the chancellor at the University of Arkansas tomorrow, live from Fayetteville. We'll talk to Sam Pittman, as well as the commissioner of the SEC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back. Great to have you with us. And Gerald is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Gerald.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you this. It's been on my mind about 10 years. Paul Bell Bryant and Tom Landry were good football coaches.
Yes, sir.
They both were good at playing the attack, and they both were good at playing the counterattack. And they both liked to wear hats. Did you know both of them were born on September the 11th?
I did not. I knew Coach Bryant was born on September 11th. There's a famous line in a movie about that. I know some of you may remember it.
Yeah, Landry was too.
I did not realize Tom Landry was.
Yep. And those six championships that Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen won, nobody averaged 4 assists a game.
I didn't. That's interesting. And by the way, Tom Landry is truly one of the greatest coaches of all time, and one of the greatest people of all time.
Yep.
I had the opportunity to interview him once, and I tell you what, I'm not sure I've ever been more nervous. I mean, he was just such a stoic figure growing up, and I appreciate you saying that. Thanks so much. Let's continue with more calls. Spencer is up next in Oxford. Hello, Spencer.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I was just calling to see. I was wondering what you think about the transformation going on with the Ole Miss football team and what you think maybe their full potential is this year in aspect of wins.
I think it's pretty good. I think we expected them to win the other night. I'm not sure we expected as much. But I think the upside is really high. Where can they turn a game around this year that they were unable to last year? I mean, they threw away a couple of games last year, at least two, maybe more. And I think they just have to avoid doing that this year to have a great year.
Right. That leads me to my second question. What do you think about their new and improved defense, specifically Chance Campbell? He looked really good the other night.
Yeah, they did. I'm trying to remember the Ole Miss schedule off the top of my head, but I think as we get a little deeper into it, I know they have Alabama pretty soon, and maybe in, 3 or 4 weeks. We'll go over the schedule. So here it is. I mean, it's Tulane suddenly becomes a little more interesting than I think we wanted to think it would be. But ultimately, the Alabama game is going to be a featured attraction. Big game. And everyone knows what happened last year. I think that Tennessee game is really big, too. They can get out of there with a win. They can really handle the first half of the season. There's no way you can handicap an LSU game right now. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Fibber is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Fibber? Is this Mr. Football?
You're on.
Hey, Mr. Football. This is Fibber McGee over in Georgia.
Well, Fibber, great to hear from you.
Well, I'm telling you what, it's great to hear from you, Mr. Paul, because like I told you a couple of weeks ago, I'm a dadgum Georgia Tech fan. I can't help it. Just can't help it. So I've just got a lot of sadness going on. You think there's any way we could get some of the SEC crumbs thrown over to the ACC and see if we can't help that bunch out a little bit?
I don't think so. I'm not in the helping mood.
Yeah, well, you're not. Well, I figured you might could help me, but ACC is just terrible. I don't know. I think sometimes the SEC just ought to have a league of their own and play their own championship and just leave everybody else alone because they're so much better than everybody. I don't know. What do you think about it, Paul?
We're not helping them. I'm sorry. Cat Daddy, do you want to help the ACC out any?
Lord have mercy. It would take Moses and the Pharaoh's army to help the ACC right now, Big Paul. They in pretty bad shape, as everybody knows.
They really are.
But I'll tell you one thing. Have you asked Fibber McGee if Molly's still living?
I have not done that, no.
Well, I'm calling you today from a sleep inn here in Columbia, South Carolina. We've had so much rain, and just like the ACC, the rain has caused my septic tank to overflood, and it's all out in the dadgum yard, and it smells like, you know what I'm saying?
I've never heard that before.
That is exactly what the ACC is going through. The septic tank's over flooded. Y'all need to call the Roto-Rooter people and have it drained, or it's going to smell up for another 4 or 5 months.
I don't think we're going to be able to clear that up, Cat Daddy. I think once that smell's there, it's going to stick around.
You got that right, Big Paul. Have a good night, everyone, and God bless the USA.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Michael is up next in Atlanta. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great.
Good, good. Good to hear from you, man. First time caller, but I love your show. I watch it every single day.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. You bet. I just wanted to call and talk to you. I appreciate it, and I loved the interview you had with Matt Corral. He's a very, very intelligent cat, and I think Ole Miss is going to do real well this year.
Yeah, I've interviewed Matt a couple of times, but he's got it together.
Oh, no doubt about it. I played football at Ole Miss in 1991 through 96. I live in Atlanta. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, went to Mara High School. I played quarterback, and Andre Hastings, the phenomenal wideout that played at Georgia, he was the number one recruit in the United States coming out of high school. He was my high school wide receiver, and I wound up going to Ole Miss and follow him, every day. And I'm really digging what they're doing out there, and I honestly, truly believe that they have a chance to come out of the West. They played Alabama tougher than anybody played them all year last year. They're definitely better than Texas A&M, no doubt about it. They'll outscore them. And so I'm looking for them this year to come out of the West. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I need. I would need to see more before I could make a leap of faith like that. But I understand your enthusiasm, and you have every reason to be excited. Michael, thank you very, very much. Jerry is up next. Hello, Jerry. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. I have an ultimate respect for you. Just keep up with you all the time.
Thank you.
Scottsboro, Alabama. Pat Trimble. Paul Bear Bryant. Bo Nix's father coached at Scottsboro Wildcat.
Sure, absolutely.
So got a lot of respect for Auburn and Alabama. I'm one of the few, maybe.
Might be the only
but,
one.
Maybe the only one, right. But, hey, I try to be respectful to all teams, but I love the SEC and I love what you do. And but, hey, my first cousin died this week. David Lawrence from David Russell Lawrence. He's from Vanderbilt. He kicked from 1989 to 1992 and was SEC punter of the year. But he passed away, and my sweet family loved him, and we love all the SEC teams, of course, Paul. Keep up with them.
Jerry, we're so sorry to hear that, but I appreciate
Google him, and his stats is phenomenal. His stats is phenomenal.
Well, thank you for sharing that, and we certainly send along our best wishes to David's family. We will be back in a moment. We've had a very busy show with all of the guests, including Coach Sherrill and Holtz. We'll have a retired general on to remember 9/11 in a few minutes, and the chancellor at the University of Arkansas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
A lot of no-shows today. I don't know if something else must be distracting our callers. Daniel in Starkville. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Paul. We're out here in Starkville, Mississippi. How you doing today?
We are doing great. How about you?
Doing good. I just wanted to call you and talk about this showdown this weekend here in Starkville, Mississippi. We're taking on the NC State Wolfpack, and they don't know this train they're running into.
Yeah, in fact, I ran into an NC State fan today that was pretty confident. I didn't want to burst her bubble about where the atmosphere that the pack, whatever they call them, will be entering. I think last week was a ruse by Mike Leach. He didn't want Dave Doran and NC State to have anything good on film to look at.
You know, Paul, they're coming into a stadium. It's been 2 years since our last night game. Everybody's be drinking liquor all day. They're coming into a raucous environment, and we're about to stomp them.
I thought Mississippi was a dry state. I'm surprised to hear that. Hey, thanks for the call, Daniel. Enjoy the night. It's a really big game. I think State with a win can really put themselves in a strong position with LSU coming in a couple of weeks. Thank you for the call. Lou in Michigan. Hello, Lou.
Hi, Paul. I like you and I like your show.
Thank you.
I was happy to see Laura on your show last Friday. I hope she gets to be on it more often.
She will be on tomorrow night.
Oh, good. I'll be watching. And good luck to you.
Thank you so much. You take care of yourself up in Michigan. Aaron in Missouri. Hello, Aaron.
Aaron? Hey, how you doing? It's actually Darren.
Oh, I'm sorry. Baron. Yeah, what? Yeah, well, B, okay. A, I mean, come on. What, you know, no spell check available tonight.
It happens. Hey, I'm in Lake Ozark, Missouri, but I play basketball at Tennessee Martin, but I have a cousin that played basketball at University of Arkansas, but I'm a big Arkansas fan. So
sure.
I think Arkansas got a great chance this weekend. I think it's going to be an upset. So I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on that.
I'm still debating this game. I think Arkansas's got a real good chance to win.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not sure, Baron. I can make a. I'll think more about it tomorrow when we talk to Sam Pittman. I always want to look to when we have an opportunity to talk to the coach on Friday. I want to take a good look at this guy, and I think I'm going to like what I see.
I think you will too.
Hey, good to hear from you, and you take care of yourself. Let's talk to Drew in Georgia. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Paul, this is Drew. I'm stationed at Fort Stewart right now, but I'm from LJ, Georgia.
Oh, great.
And, me and my grandpa, he passed away this last year, but he'd be tickled to death if I was on this show. But we're huge dog fans, and I hear a lot of outside noise, like from like the national media about, I guess, how Georgia didn't put up 3 points this last weekend or whatever. But I was wondering what your take is on, like, nobody's really talking about how good Clemson is probably going to end up being as far as defensively ranked in the nation. Because I know they lost a lot of offensive pieces, but defensively, you know, they're still pretty stacked, I think.
Well, I agree with you. By the way, how long have you been in the Army?
I've been a couple years. This is my second year.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm so sorry to hear about your grandfather, but I'm sure he was very proud of you.
I appreciate that, sir.
Well, I feel pretty good. I think the dogs are going to be just fine, Drew. So you take care of yourself. Be safe. And thank you very much for the call. Let's continue and talk to Aubrey in Kentucky. Hello, Aubrey.
Hi, Paul. No, my favorite calls were Cat Daddy and Squirrel.
So Aubrey, first of all, how old are you?
8 years old.
Eight. You might be one of our youngest callers. You sound great. Well, we all like Cat Daddy and Squirrel. I understand Cat Daddy. What is there about Squirrel that you like other than his name?
Because they put a picture of Squirrel on the TV.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I mean, yeah, when your nickname is Squirrel and when your picture is a squirrel, I can understand why there people might like that. Well, Aubrey, who do you root for? Are you a Kentucky fan?
Uh-huh.
No.
No.
We love. Can we talk about the Aggies?
Now hold on a second, Aubrey. How did an Aggie fan get in the middle of Kentucky?
My daddy is work for Texas A&M University.
Oh, okay, well that is a perfectly good answer. Well, we can talk about the Aggies.
Well, Aubrey, you want to ask Paul? My daughter Aubrey wants to know the Aggies. She's having a tough time getting this question out. Do they have enough backups and depth chart so that they get tired in the high altitude? I know it may not be a big deal, but they can
continue. Yeah, Aubrey's dad. That's a good question. I think they do. I think this is a little bit of a nervous game for Aggies. It is different when you play in the games at Mile High Stadium. I think that speaks for itself. There is definitely a difference, but I also believe when you are as conditioned as these athletes are, it should not be a big deal. So I am not thinking that's going to factor the game. Well, thanks so much for the call, and you guys take care of yourself. How about Mike in Texas? Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, brother.
Hey there.
So the caller in front of me kind of stole my thunder there. So first off, the Ole Miss guy that called probably about 10 minutes ago and said they're going to kill. He was the quarterback in 91. We got hit in the head too much because there's no way Ole Miss is going to beat A&M. None. Zero. Not it. Mark it down. So I called Paul to ask you something.
Okay.
I'm a gambling man. You and I talked a few weeks ago, and I thought I was watching Kellen Mond again Saturday night instead of Haynes King. Is that rookie jitters, or is that what he's going to be? Because if we were to play Alabama right now the way we played Saturday night, it'd be 82-10. That was embarrassing against Kent State.
I think it's premature to jump to that conclusion. I thank you for your call. Sounds like maybe you were on the wrong side of the bet there. We will take a break. We have a lot to do in the final hour. Chancellor at the University of Arkansas and retired Major General Vincent Bowles reflecting back on 9/11. We just talked to an Army man in Georgia. We'll talk to the general right after this.